Coming up tomorrow, a bunch of exciting activities and events. We've got our candidate forum from 7 to 9 p.m. for Chapel Hill mayoral and town council candidates. That's going to be from 7 to 9 at Chapel Hill Town Hall. We'll be broadcasting it live here on WCHL, but you can also head to Town Hall and catch it live. Chapel Hill Town Government will be televising it, too. And a number of things happening at the Chapel Hill Public Library. 6:30, you can come hear about the history of the Civil Rights Movement, legal of Women Voters and the American Association of University Women, hosting a talk about the Voting Rights Act by Professor Irving Joyner, NC Central School of Law. Public input meeting on how to improve bike and pedestrian traffic along Estes Drive between MLK and Caswell Road. That's from 5 to 7. And then earlier in the day, from 2:30 to 4 p.m., all of this at the public library tomorrow, a Meet the Author Tea hosted by the Friends of the Library. This month's guest, actually a publisher, Ina Stern, Associate Publisher for Algonquin Books, based right here in Chapel Hill. And with all of that activity happening at the library, there's no room for Susan Brown, so Susan joined us here on the air. How are you?
Thanks for having me, and see you later. We're done here, Aaron.
That's it. That's all we got. Susan Brown joining us now from the Chapel Hill Public Library, wearing a very festive GOP debate-themed elephant shirt. Is that
what? Wait, I didn't even think about that.
Really?
No,
that's the first thing that I thought when I saw you come in.
No, I like.
I'm gonna
like
let the listeners at home make
animals.
Their own, come up with their own ideas to what kind of elephant themed shirt you've got
on.
So
I found this line of shirts that I like, and
okay.
I have an elephant, I have a goldfish, and I have a flamingo shirt now.
Okay.
No, not a flamingo, a swan.
Oh yes. Okay. That makes
so
more sense.
So does that help?
Yes. Yes. So this is, you just happen
actually,
to put
I really
on the
Actually, what I
really
want
elephant.
Is a giraffe shirt.
That would
I didn't
be...
even think of, seriously, is tonight's
yes.
the debates, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, tonight's the debates.
And I'm walking
You've
around
You've been walking around all
elephant.
Day being like, I am so geared up for the Trump Fiorina Smackdown that...
I didn't even, I gotta find me a donkey shirt so I can, because I'm a librarian.
Yeah,
and if
yeah.
we are, you know, we have to present both sides. For every Trump bio, we have to have a Hillary Clinton bio in the collection or something like that.
Okay. I don't know if
I should stop talking now. Probably.
I don't know if this means that you should go out and find a donkey shirt. I don't think you have to do that to yourself. The elephant shirt is very nice. I like it.
What I really want is a giraffe shirt.
Yeah.
Giraffes are my favorite, like,
really?
Zoo.
Okay.
African, you know, animal.
Right, right.
Giraffes.
Okay. I was really spoiled growing up because I was in Lansing, Michigan, and there's a zoo right there, the Potter Park Zoo, and it's a very nice zoo. Like, it's not one that people drive from states away to visit, but it's a nice zoo. They have apes and gorillas and giraffes and elephants,
yeah.
and I think they had penguins for a while, and they do this really cool Christmas thing, and you can go and feed the ducks. I don't think you're supposed to do that anymore, but once upon a time you could do that, and it was really cool. So now people get so excited about going to the zoo. I'm like, yeah, zoo. You can
right,
just drive
else?
Down the road and
right.
see it. Yeah, but there's so few cities that have them, so I was spoiled.
Yeah.
Now we're done.
Okay, what are we talking about?
We're talking
Books.
About this Meet the Author tea.
Yes.
That's coming up tomorrow, which is really cool.
It is really cool. So we are so lucky to have our fabulous friends group, and about once a month, although sometimes twice a month, mm-hmm. they sponsor, and they've been doing this for gazillion years now.
That many.
a Meet the Author tea.
Uh-huh.
So usually it's an author. In August, we actually had two authors. So it was a Meet the Authors tea.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is a Meet the Author with the author slashed out and you scribble in publisher.
Publisher.
Meet the Publisher tea tomorrow.
I feel like
tomorrow.
They should serve coffee at this.
They do. They serve coffee and tea.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's a Meet the Publisher coffee instead of a Meet the Author tea.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
So they serve coffee and tea. And they serve cookies. I don't know if
okay.
I've ever told you my story about this. I believe this is, so this was told to me, I believe it to be true, and I think it's still going. There was a long...
If it's not true, it should be.
There was a long...
Print the legend.
...standing member of the Friends, and he always came to the Meet the Author teas, and when he passed away, he left funding for them, because his favorite cookie was
I
a Fig Newton.
I did hear this, yes.
And he left a fund, a Fig Newton endowment fund.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool, right?
That's really awesome.
I go for the Milanos.
Uh-huh.
That's what I go for.
Okay, yeah.
You'll
Milanos
see me there
good.
At 2:30 tomorrow, like a squirrel.
Munching on Milanos, yeah.
My cheeks. So anyways, so let me just say something. People talk about spring fever. I have fall fever.
When
the weather starts to get cool and it's awesome outside, I go nutty. Look at me. Like you can a look squirrel. At me now. I go like a squirrel packing the Milanos, and I just lose my mind. So I don't know if I'm going to make
with
any sense.
Southerners and talking about this is the cool weather. It's 80 degrees
outside.
It feels
so good outside.
It feels really,
it's
really
awesome.
Good. I was telling Kristen Smith last hour, I was talking with my parents on the phone. They're in Michigan, and they're like, oh, man, it's so warm out still. It's like 65 degrees.
Yeah.
Like, it's 80 down here.
We're like
Everyone's putting on the sweaters and the cardigans and talking about the weather cooling off. It's 80. Come on. It's not even fall yet. But it is cooling off.
All right. We've talked about animals and weather.
Yes.
We've got to talk about books.
We've got to talk about books. Okay.
We're going to talk about some books. So tomorrow.
Yes. Ina Stern.
Details of the event. Yes. Normally the Meet the Author is at 3:30. Mm-hmm. For cookies and fellowship and tea and mixing
and
mingling.
Yes.
And then 4:00 is when the author speaks. But since it's a Meet the Publisher coffee, this one is starting at 2:30. And
okay.
Ina and her associate, whose name I have just forgotten, she's bringing along another member of the Algonquin family to talk. And they're going to talk at 3:00. So come for tea and cookies from 2:30 to 3. Ina and company start talking at 3:00. And I believe what she's going to do, and she's fabulous, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I have done some programs with her in the past. She's a longtime resident of Chapel Hill Carborough. She's just a doll. She is going to talk a little bit about the history of Algonquin, but also she's going to talk about their forthcoming books.
Nice.
So what's coming out.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she's going to bring some galleys, but maybe she will.
She may. At the very least, you'll have a sense of what Algonquin's coming out with in the next few months.
So you can look really cool at your book club or at a cocktail party.
Well,
talking
about Algonquin is coming out with this and this.
Forthcoming.
Yes.
Use the word forthcoming.
Forthcoming,
forthcoming from Algonquin.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard, blah, blah, blah. So you can sound very cool.
In certain circles.
Yeah, it's going to be great. She's a great speaker, and she's great. So it's going to be super fun, and I brought a couple of my favorite Algonquin books.
So talk about Algonquin books. It's based in Chapel Hill. It started in, I want to say 81, 83. Is it 83 it started?
83.
And it's a very small publishing house and just sort of pound for pound one of the best. Just the sheer number, the number of books it publishes is small. The number of quality books it publishes is ridiculously high.
So, yes, they started in 1983 in Lewis Rubin's home. I think it was in his garage or his like shed out back or something.
I'm
going
to go with shed out back.
Was it a shed out back?
Sure.
Could have been a woodshed, maybe.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And there was the famous sign that said, please close the gate, because it was literally, I think that he had a dog and he didn't want the dog to get out. So it was Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill, please close the gate. That shows you how small they were.
Yes.
And they made a name for themselves pretty quickly. They were really well known for a long time and still are of doing Southern fiction. So Jill McCorkle and Kay Gibbons and Larry Brown and all of those folks, many of them came through Algonquin.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 89 or 90, they were acquired by Workman, which is a larger publishing house in New York. But what's great about it is they still have an office here in Chapel Hill. So oftentimes, if you get acquired, your offices all go to New York. But Chapel Hill and Algonquin Books were so much tied together and so iconic, they have an office here. And so they still do Southern fiction, but they've expanded beyond that. They do some great nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had some big ones. I mean, Algonquin was the publisher of Water for Elephants, one of the biggest books of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
They've expanded, but they've also stayed true to their roots. And you'll hear lots more about that tomorrow.
Very cool. And that's tomorrow, 2:30 to 4 p.m. Meet the Publisher Coffee, hosted by the Friends of the Library. Ina Stern is going to be there, and everyone's invited to that. So, in honor of the fact that this event is happening tomorrow, we're going to talk about our favorite Southern
I brought
books.
Algonquin titles, but I said Southern fiction is fine, too.
Yeah. I've got some from before. I've got some that I read before I even moved here. So these are not going to be Algonquin titles.
That's
for
okay.
Me, but some of my favorite Southern fiction and nonfiction works. So
this
go
is,
ahead.
This is going to be good because I purposely chose non-Southern Algonquin titles my favorites. So
and
this
I chose
be fun.
Southern non-Algonquin.
Boom.
Good.
It's
we're
like
here.
The coffee
yes.
tea publisher author.
Boom.
We got it going. Okay. All right. So the first one I thought of, and I may have talked about this before on this show, but it was one of my favorite Algonquin books of the last couple of years. It's called The Storied Life of A.J. Fikre. And it is very, very charming. It is about a sort of cantankerous, crotchety bookstore owner. He's a widower. He is seeing the book publishing world changing. Customers have changed. His bookstore is kind of having a major, you know, slump, and he's pretty cranky.
Yes.
And one day, a baby shows up, left in the bookstore.
Okay.
And the rest of the book is how the baby changes him, changes the bookstore, changes his outlook, and
sort of all
of these charming, wonderful things that happen. And it really nails the culture of bookstores and book clubs and readers, and it's a delightful book.
Awesome.
So that is called The Storied Life of A.J. Fikre, and the author is Gabrielle. I brought up her name because I'm going to say it wrong. Where is it? Hold on. Awkward radio moment. Zevin.
Okay.
Gabrielle Zevin. Storied Life of A.J. Fikre.
Zevin with a V? Or
Z-E-V-I-N.
Zevin. Okay.
Yes. Now it's your turn.
All right. Cool. I'm going to start with a book that I believe I read as a freshman in high school, although I'm not 100% sure when it was, but it was assigned to me as a book, and I just really fell in love with it. A book about growing up, coming of age, and a child coming of age, and I think the main character was female, but their cohort coming of age, and also, for better or worse, their community coming of age as well, and changing and growing up, quote unquote, and modernizing and industrializing in ways that may not necessarily be good.
What is it?
Cold Sassy Tree by Olive Ann Burns.
Yeah.
Which is such a good book. Had to be a male main character, because I think Neil Patrick Harris played him in the movie.
I didn't know there was a movie. Was it on Lifetime?
Probably. It's not nearly as good as the book. The book is terrific. It's really good coming of age story, and it's all about the town changing around them and trying to hold on to some semblance of tradition,
right,
while also simultaneously modernizing. All of the towns are changing their names. So if you look at, and this is true, if you look at maps of Georgia today, you'll see all of the towns that are named after, they're named to be sort of business commercial hubs. So there's got the town of commerce and the town of town of future and whatnot. but it's this town that's dealing with that change at the same time that these kids are growing up. So
and
really love this book.
That's one of my favorite themes or plots in books, is that changing of a time, of an era.
Yeah.
I think of one of my favorites is the Forsyth saga, which is this big family saga, but it's really about the change from Victorian to modern.
Yes.
And it's actually that one, what the symbol is a house being built. So they build a very modern house,
nice,
and that is the symbol of what is coming. So
I was,
it's a great theme.
We were talking before we started. I just got done reading Middlesex, which I think if I go all the way back to our January 1st conversation, that was one of my New Year's resolutions that I wanted to read Middlesex.
Good for
you. So I finally finished. Yay. Two more left to go.
If I had a gold star, I'd give you one.
But yeah, I'm fresh out. That's good. You've given out all the gold stars. People have accomplished things. But it's the very modern house that's built, that's kind of out of place in the neighborhood, and it's very much about the way that the city, Detroit, transforms in the 20th century.
Right.
So yeah,
same
all
thing.
About that.
I love it.
You next.
Okay, my next Algonquin book that I love. I don't know if I've talked about this one before. If I have, it's been like 2 years. How long have we been doing this? We've been doing it a while.
Bit more than a year.
Wow.
It has not been that long.
All right.
Yeah.
So this is a book called The Reliable Wife, and the author is Robert Goolrick, G-O-O-L-R-I-C-K.
Okay.
And as you know, I like the dark and the twisty.
Yes.
I like historical fiction.
Oh, you'll like my next one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Dark, twisty, historical fiction. I love anything that's kind of a gothic, sort of that overdone melodrama and that gothic feel to it. And The Reliable Wife by Robert Goolrick has all of that. It's actually set In rural Wisconsin, so it's not a southern setting, in 1909, and it's just so cold there. And this he's a very successful businessman, and he's older. The book opens, and he's waiting on a train platform on this freezing cold day, and there's snow blowing in, mm-hmm. and he's out in the boonies in Wisconsin, and he's waiting for a woman.
Okay.
And he put an ad in the paper in the big city looking for, quote-unquote, a reliable wife.
Okay.
So it's got this great opening, and she comes on the train because she's answered his ad. They've been corresponding.
Mm-hmm.
And where the story kind of steps off from there is neither one of them are who they seem. Neither one of them are the people they presented, nor are they, neither one of them has a heart of gold, much less
okay.
you know, all of that. And so as the winter progresses and their marriage takes off, there's lots of plot twists and seedy underbellies and lies and seduction and it's there's a lot of melodrama. It's very stylized, but if you like Rebecca and sort of even like a little bit of like Wuthering Heights in loved it. I've read it several times, but again, I like that kind of thing.
And
so
what's
Gothic
it called again?
Tale. It's called The Reliable Wife.
The Reliable Wife.
He's All got right. a new book out, which I bet she'll talk about tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. All right, Reliable Wife. In honor of your dark and twisty love of all things dark and
yes.
twisty, in honor of your dark and twisty love of all things dark and twisty, and in honor of the South, you can't not say Flannery O'Connor.
Oh, absolutely.
A good man is hard to find.
I'm a huge fan.
Yep, huge.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can't I and say no more, because this
right.
is the one of the greatest short stories ever written, period, and it twists and turns in wholly unexpected ways every single paragraph, and I'm not going to say anything more about it because it's great.
The only thing that I will say that
uh-huh.
as a librarian who's
yes.
worked with readers for a long time, we have these tenets like you don't judge people's reading taste, and
mm-hmm.
you should never make any excuse for your reading taste, and you certainly shouldn't shame people.
I feel like the word but is coming here.
But. However.
Yeah. Yes. Insofar as.
If you, ergo, henceforth, therefore.
Yes.
If you say that you are a fan of Southern fiction and you have never read A Good Man is Hard to Find.
Then you are not yet a fan of Southern fiction.
Or I might shame you.
Okay. And or. Yeah.
Perhaps.
I might shame you because you are not yet a fan
right.
of Southern fiction.
That's a great piece.
It really is.
You got to go read it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Run, don't walk, to
yes.
your local library and get yourself a copy of A Good Man is Hard to Find.
I think you can find it online.
Stop it.
Okay.
We don't tell people that. It's bad for business.
There's a baby over there.
There's a baby on the doorstep
oh my God,
of the radio
it's changing
station.
Everything. How can this be?
All right. It's my turn.
Yep, last
my
one.
My turn. So, again, Algonquin's known for literary Southern fiction. And one of my favorite books of, I think this was last year, is a thriller. So they also do kind of literary thrillers. And it was a book called Descent.
Mm-hmm.
And the author is Tim, I don't have my notes, Tim something or other, Descent. So this one is set in the Rocky Mountains. And it's a family, they live in the Midwest, I believe, and they are on this family trip.
Johnston.
Tim Johnston. What are you, a librarian?
I looked
Look at
it up
you
on
with the
internet.
Information.
I'm a fine Flannery O'Connor
Descent
now. Here,
Descent by Tim Johnston. It's a young family. The daughter is going to go away to college. They take a family trip. The parents, maybe the marriage is a little bit tense right now, but they're out there. They're vacationing. The daughter is a runner. She and her brother go running, and she disappears.
Ooh.
And the story becomes, it's a very much a literary thriller,
mm-hmm.
and it has that bit of a rip from the headlines of where is she, who's got her, is she being held hostage, is she a plural wife, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's a really thoughtful look at what happens to the family in the aftermath of that.
Okay.
So it's not Southern literary fiction, but it's literary fiction, and it's genre-esque in that it's a thriller. So if you like... yeah, literary thrillers. If you like Gone Girl and those types of things,
okay, yeah.
I think that you should give that a shot. Descent
right.
by Tim Johnston.
By Tim Johnston. Okay, we've got to wrap up, so I'm going to hold this last recommendation for a future week.
Right.
It's a nonfiction book anyway that's only tenuously about the South. It's very good, but I'll hold it for later.
Okay.
It's about the 60s. I'll just leave it at that. Tomorrow.
2:30.
to
don't,
4.
There won't be any Milanos because I will have taken them all. 2:30
till 3.
Get there
at 1:45. Right. Maybe you'll get your hands on the last Milano.
2:30 till 3. Tea, coffee, cookies, mingling, 3 till 4, the fabulous Ina Stern and her colleague, whose name I should know, I think it's Pam, but I'm not totally sure, will be there talking about forthcoming books from Algonquin and the history of this gem of our community.
Absolutely not to be missed. That's at the Chapel Hill Public Library tomorrow, 2:30 to 4. Go check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you next week.